This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast on November the 18th, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, and the HAT Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller coming up today with the news. There was talk in Kansas City last week about President-elect Trump and the effect on fertilizer. We'll hear about that and how to increase your ROI with phosphorus fertilizer. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has some changes in the forecast, including some rain later today in parts of Indiana. And finally, the grain and oilseed markets realized a higher session on Friday. We'll have numbers and Brian Basting analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
The impact of Trump's return on fertilizer and improving your ROI for 2025. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Here in Kansas City for the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention, there's been a lot of conversation about Donald Trump's return to the White House and what the impact will be for the ag industry. CJ Miller reports how Trump could specifically impact the fertilizer industry.
I am hopeful. I'm more hopeful than I would have been under a Harris administration.
And that's Josh Linville, Vice President of Fertilizer for StoneX. He believes that Trump will encourage domestic fertilizer production to drive down the cost for farmers.
I am looking forward and thinking there's a better chance some of these environmental restrictions, some of these government red tapes that are out there, those might be rescinded and give the manufacturers hope, hey, I can proceed with this project and actually have some backing. It's a best case scenario. And plus, I like producing it at home.
And with all of the EPA and government restrictions that are currently in place, he says that's why almost all of our farm fertilizer comes from overseas. Many of the major exporters include Russia and Iran.
A lot of people don't realize that. China typically will export about 5.5 million ton per year. Iran's about 4.8 to 4.9 million, so very close to the same. And you start talking about this tit-for-tat situation going on with Israel, and if that thing flares up, and if all of a sudden we start getting into a more of a direct conversation, we talk about how harmful losing China is. You lose Iran. It's losing a second China. It's major.
Another major factor that could impact the price of farm fertilizer is the relationship between Trump and Putin.
Now, Putin and Trump seem to have a very respectful relationship between the two of them. We hope that will play out. We hope the Ukrainian invasion will go away. We don't need to worry about it. But if they start butting heads, and let's face it, those are two very big egos, and all of a sudden, what is one of Trump's big weapons? It's tariffs. Russia is one of the biggest exporters of phosphate, of potash, and of nitrogen. And if we start to tariff them, we've already stopped them on their phosphate flow, but if we start blocking potash and we start blocking nitrogen, it's going to get more painful before it gets better.
You can hear my full conversation with Josh Linville from StoneX. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
Here in Kansas City for the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention, we're learning about products to help increase your ROI for next year.
At PhosPholutions, our whole goal is to make phosphates more efficient, more sustainable, and more economical for growers.
That's Craig Dick, Vice President of Sales and Marketing for PhosPholutions, talking about their product, Rhizosorb, the next generation of phosphorus fertilizer.
Rhizosorb 8390 is a replacement for MAP or DAP. And so it's a simple, just pull the DAP out of your program and put in Rhizosorb, or pull out MAP and put in Rhizosorb. However you're currently using your phosphorus program, we're a simple replacement that improves phosphate efficiency.
And he breaks down the dollars and cents of Rhizosorb.
Currently, MAP is at an all-time high cost per unit of corn, so it's very expensive. With Rhizosorb, when you replace your MAP, you should see about a 10% on per acre basis cost savings. Plus, with a small yield advantage, the average grower will see about a $20 ROI.
If you're interested in learning more, he encourages you to visit their website.
PhosPholutions.com, PhosPholutions.com. There they will find a grower savings calculator to see how much they can save on their farm. They can also download the performance report, seeing the last 3 years of history. They can also talk to their local retailer, as we have distribution across the Midwest. So ask for it from your retailer.
We'll be back tomorrow in Indiana. Glad to be back home. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Kansas City and the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention on Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit Mid-America is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, looking at a changeable weather pattern this week. I do think cold Canadian air is lurking up to the north, and it's going to try and make its presence known here eventually. Now, through the day today, I guess I'm not seeing a lot here that makes me too super excited about cold air. But I do think that we are going to be looking at precipitation trying to work its way towards us. Moving through Illinois through the midday and early afternoon hours, clouds increasing here, and we end up with rain in Indiana later this afternoon into this evening. This is going to be kind of with a warm front lifting through. So only looking at about 40, 50% coverage. A large chunk of that is going to be in the northern half of the state, I-70 northward. We're going to wait till probably the overnight tonight through tomorrow before the cold front that's associated with this low comes through. It's mostly done with moisture by the time we get to 8 to 9 a.m., but I think we can pick up anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch out of that cold front as it comes through. However, that cold front will not immediately lead to very cold air. As a matter of fact, I think it works more as a dry slot for Tuesday afternoon, seeing partly sunny skies try to emerge, and Wednesday we start to see cooler air come in. Not right away, not a big blast, but I do think temperatures are definitely working backward through the day on Wednesday. With that, probably seeing more clouds around Wednesday, late morning to early afternoon through sunset. Moisture out of that cold air surge likely hits more to the east over parts of eastern Michigan and then into Ohio. Clouds in Indiana, but I'm going to say no to moisture right now. We see wraparound backside moisture then in this cold air through the Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday time frame. So I think we're going to be seeing lake effect play into this. Lots of clouds. If you see any sunshine for Thursday or Friday, you call it a bonus and move on. I think we see a lot of clouds here and maybe some spits, sprinkles, and wet snowflakes. Just depends on where you're at as to which one of those you can see. I think we all can see some of it. Liquid is going to be on the order of a few hundredths to maybe quarter of an inch. So it's not a lot. The closer you get to Lake Michigan, I think that's where we can be seeing the bigger moisture totals, but that's where we also see the best chance of sloppy wet snowflake action. We get a little bit better sunshine in here for the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, but we're still chilly, at least for most of Saturday. Temperatures moderating Sunday afternoon. Going into next week, we start with a warm surge for Monday and Tuesday. A little bit of moisture in there, a few hundreds to a few tenths, probably Monday night through Tuesday afternoon. And then we have another cold front that sags through that I think opens the door to colder air for Thanksgiving Day, the 28th, on through the end of the week. But I don't think it's going to be as sharp of a drop-off in temperatures as what we're seeing the second part of this week. Next week is going to be chilly, but not as bad. I do think that we see moisture hold then through Black Friday, the 29th, probably putting together a dry Saturday, the 30th, before another round of moisture comes in going into December 1st. All of this looking mostly rain for next week, Thanksgiving on through the early part of the following week. It definitely looks like rain in my mind, even with the cooler air in here. The only chance of wet snowflakes we see is what we see later this week with this strong wraparound circulation. So there you go. Pattern changes. We haven't talked about cold air in quite a while, but we are going to have to deal with it later this week. That's a look at your forecast. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Gains across the board, corn, soybeans, and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. And the selling finally hit a pause button to end the week. We'll have the settlements coming up. First, market analysis. I secured that in the middle of the trading session from Brian Basting with Advanced Trading. Brian, the slide in the corn, soybean, and wheat markets finally comes to a halt. on Friday, led by soybeans to the upside, but we've seen some degradation in those markets day after day, losses. Why did we finally put an end to that? Just getting to a point of oversold?
Thanks for having me, Andy. I would say yes. We're ahead of a weekend, of course, and you'll see some short covering ahead of the weekend. This dynamic market to worldwide, whether it's the macroeconomic events, weather events, whether the case may be. As you said, it's been a prolonged slide. Actually, that January bean contract went below $10 a bushel on Thursday, and it rebounded on Friday. It's nudging around that $10 bushel rebound. But I'd say, yes, some short covering. We saw some decent export sales reported by the USDA on Friday. It was delayed a day with the Veterans Holiday. So I think that there's still some interest out there at these lower prices, and I think we'll see what these lower prices this week, how that'll be reflected in next week's export sales report. But short answer to your question is I think we've just got enough of a sharp sell-off. About a two-week low we made in corn futures on Thursday, and that may have encouraged a few more end users to put their toe back in the water here and get some coverage on.
Concerning the losses in soybean futures and then the Friday turnaround, how much of a factor, if any, has South American weather played in that?
It has played a factor primarily to the downside, Andy. We've seen the dry season end decisively the last month with ample rain across the north. A very active planting pace is being seen now in northern Brazil. They have caught up entirely, in fact, in the number one state of Mato Grosso in the northwest. The southern states, Andy, are a little bit behind, I would say. They're close to average, but it's not a concern at the moment. So the bottom line is that the improved rainfall that we've seen across Brazil, which they need after an extended dry season in the north anyway, has encouraged producers to get out there and plant. They have planted aggressively. So that's not an issue at the moment. The issue moving forward now as you move into the second half of November and into December, we can extend that further south into Argentina. There's some concerns that a La Nina weather pattern will turn southern Brazil and parts of Argentina dry. That's something I'd encourage your listeners to be aware of. I wouldn't hang my hat on that. In other words, the fundamentals for beans are still bearish. I can't change that picture today, Andy, in terms of a very large U.S. crop and a building carryout supply. However, we're just entering a new growing season, so it's something to be aware of. And when you're talking about your marketing plan, you want to maintain as much flexibility as possible, in my opinion, Andy, with bushels that are either in the bin or that you've sold. You want to get a floor underneath those prices and leave the upside open. But short answer to your question is that, yes, South American weather now will be front and center as we wrap up our bean harvest here in the U.S.
We've seen during the course of the week that front month soybean number go down below the $10 mark, back up above it barely on Friday. How important is that? Where is support right now for beans?
It is important. We look at the January contract, which became the lead month definitively here with the expiration of November futures on Thursday. But the contract low, as I glanced at the chart here, Andy, for January futures was made back there in mid-August at 973.5. It's about 30 cents away at the moment. That's an important technical point. You're looking at a market that had a decent rally into harvest, early harvest. It went up to almost $11. But the last 45 days have been rough on the bean market, and it's retraced all the way back down to, again, with just within 30 cents of that contract low now. Just hovering, as you said, in a $10 bushel. It's very important. We want to see if two things happen. If end users step in here at that $10 mark and aggressively buy, or do we keep some weather premium in there around $10 for the South American conditions? The other variable that people are wondering about would be the relationship with China as the new administration takes place here in early 25. Will they maintain China will China maintain buying U.S. beans? And we saw what happened a few years ago. I can't predict that. I simply don't know what's going to happen, but it's something the market's going to be really sensitive to the next 60 days. Are we going to see a change in the trade policy or not going into the mid-January, late January time period, and how China positions themselves going into that time period too will be important. But again, back to your question, $10, $9.75, $10, very important contract low support.
Thoughts on the grain and oil seed markets from economist Brian Basting with Advanced Trading. Brian's number is 309-664-2314. Settlements now from Friday trade, a nickel up at the close on December corn. It goes to 424. March 435 and a quarter up 4.5 cents. May also up 4.5, 442 and three quarters. And we couldn't hold that $10 level on January beans, dipping to $9.98.5 on settlement, up 11 cents and off the highs. March beans, 10.08 and three quarters, up 9.5 cents. December wheat, a gain of 6.25, 536.5. The meats were mixed, even on December live cattle, 182.95, up 15 cents on the February, 185.25. And December lean hogs, 79.50, down 60 cents. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.